Welcome to CHOATS Life Sciences Insights, a podcast series hosted by our intellectual property, litigation, and corporate attorneys, covering trending topics at the intersection of science and law.
Hello, and welcome to this CHOATE podcast. I'm Adam Bookbinder, co-chair of the Government Enforcement Group here at CHOATE, and with me today is my colleague Sarah Frank. As many of you are likely aware, the fate and the potential impact of what's called the Biosecure Act has been a source of much speculation over the past several months, as the act has stalled in Congress yet maintains strong bipartisan support. We will break down what the current status of the act is in Congress and also discuss some of the implications and the practical takeaways life sciences companies may want to consider at this time.
Thanks, Adam. Let's dive in.
All right. So first, as a quick reminder, in an effort to protect U.S. national security, the Biosecure Act effectively bans U.S. life sciences companies from contracting with certain Chinese biotech companies, which the act refers to as biotechnology companies of concern. These companies of concern were chosen based on what the Act's supporters describe as national security concerns about the misuse of U.S. genomic data by the Chinese government and military. Life sciences companies that receive U.S. federal funds and work with these Chinese companies would all be impacted if the Act is passed. For example, a biotech company that receives federal funds or contracts with the federal government could not engage a company of concern as a contract research organization or CRO, a contract manufacturer, or a supplier.
Yes. And five specific China-based companies were called out by name in the act. That is BGI Genomics, MGI, Complete Genomics, and WuXi AppTec and WuXi Biologics, along with their subsidiaries, parents, or successors of these companies. Per the draft legislation, the government could identify additional biotech companies of concern in the future, companies that are subject to the control of a foreign adversary who poses a national security risk, such as China, North Korea, Iran, or Russia.
One really interesting thing about the Biosecure Act is the bipartisan support it has gained in both the House and the Senate. Can you talk a little bit about that and about where the act stands in Congress, Sarah?
Sure. You know, earlier this year, the prospects of passage by the end of 2024 seemed quite strong. However, that became much less certain after a House floor vote to include Biosecure as an amendment to the 2025 National Defense Authorization Act failed in June. Since that was considered the most likely pathway to passage, this outcome raised some questions about Biosecure's future. But House Speaker Mike Johnson indicated recently during a speech in early July that he plans to hold a vote on the Biosecure Act before the year's end and reiterated his support for it. And since that legislation has Democratic co-sponsors, including Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton and Jake Auchincloss, there is still a real chance that it will be enacted. We will continue to wait and see if and how the Biosecure Act comes up for a vote this year.
The House version of the act has some changes since it was originally introduced, changes that would soften the blow to life sciences companies that currently work with countries of concern, right?
Yes, yes. Both the House and Senate versions of the bill each added proposed language to permit for a transition or grandfathering period for manufacturers who are currently contracting with companies of concern. The House bill specifically provides for grandfathering until 2032, 8 years if passed this year, and 5 years for contracted relationships with companies of concern that are added to the prohibited list in the future. The industry trade group Bio surveyed their members and found that 79% of respondents reported that they worked with a Chinese CRO or CDMO and indicated that it would take up to 8 years to switch contract manufacturers. Supply chain issues have been a concern. The update to the House bill allowing an 8-year transition period is seen as a win for the life sciences industry. In a mid-July interview, Bio CEO John Crowley expressed satisfaction with the current version, noting that, quote, it would actually be a great success for Bio.
That's interesting, but given that as of today, we don't know what the future holds for the BioSecure Act, what should life sciences companies be thinking about and planning for?
Great question. The updated House bill certainly gives companies a longer runway for planning purposes. That is helpful. But given the very limited options for affordable non-Chinese CROs, CDMOs, and contract manufacturers who have capacity to take on new work, there is value in researching alternative solutions for contracting partners. We've seen numerous public disclosures by companies citing the BioSecure Act, primarily disclosed with other risk factors. These often cite the inability to purchase services or products, the restricted ability to contract, supply disruptions, cost increases, as well as manufacturing and/or development delays. This can cause a downstream effect on commercialization and an increased reliance on new third-party vendors, which may present operational difficulties. So advanced planning and problem solving is important. Anyone contracting or seeking to renew a contract with a company of concern or a company that may be at risk for becoming a future company of concern should carefully review contractual provisions. For example, do these contracts provide for the return of company data and materials? Do they have notice and termination clauses should a partner later be identified or purchased by a company of concern? Do your contracts have strong confidentiality provisions? Do you have a process for diligence? And do you require vendors to attest that they are not an identified company of concern, nor a subsidiary? And if you have not already done a risk assessment of your vendor engagements, now's a good time.
Certainly is a lot to think about here, and judging by the questions and the comments we've been hearing from the life sciences community, companies are already giving a lot of thought and attention to this subject.
Absolutely. We will continue to monitor and hope that Congress provides further clarity by the fall.
And with that, we thank you for joining us. We hope you found this podcast valuable.
The information presented in this recording is for educational purposes only. It does not constitute legal advice for a specific situation. If you wish to obtain legal advice, you should retain an attorney and explain the facts of your particular situation.